Good morning, 810 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our chat with folks from Morningstar Care Home, serving Neodesha and Fredonia, and we are joined this morning by Scott Schultz, owner and president, and good to have you on here this morning, sir.
Thank you, James. Good to be here.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time to call in and chat with us today. So, Scott, you know, you guys do so much here in the area. I mean, it's really been great having, you know, getting to meet your staff and even getting to meet one of your residents here a couple of weeks ago. I know that was just super fun, really enjoyable. And, you know, you've got a couple locations, of course, throughout Southeast Kansas. And I know that they kind of provide various services, the kind of specialty services here when we talk about long-term care, right?
Yes, we do. We have assisted living in both Fredonia and Neodesha. And then in Neodesha, we also offer memory care services. Those are our main lines of business, you might say.
That is great. So a very you know, needed service, and I really think you guys just, you know, provide that top quality care and really are the best. So you know, I know on the program here we really like to inform and educate people about, you know, topics related to, you know, long-term care, and something that is you know, somewhat related but not necessarily is Medicaid. And I know that this is one of those things that it can just honestly be confusing, stressful. You know, folks who are, you know, are retirees, you know, they worry about how they're going to pay for health care, the cost of living, especially in a nursing facility or assisted living. What are some of the common questions you get asked from clients when we talk about, you know, Medicaid and how are we going to pay for this health care when that need arises?
You know, James, even my parents, who are in their late 80s, have been experiencing this web of questions recently. And it, as you say, it is confusing, and there are various services and payer sources. People are moving from private health insurance coverage to Medicare programs, or they're looking at buying policies to supplement their Medicare insurance. There are donut holes where some costs aren't covered. There's the newer Medicaid Advantage program. There's Medicaid and similar programs, such as those administered by the Veterans Administration. It is a web they want to ask questions about.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, can you explain the difference between Medicare and Medicaid? As you know, we hear these talked about a lot, but I know they're probably definitely confusing to anyone who hasn't dealt with any of these systems before.
Sure. Let's talk about Medicare first. Medicare is a federal health insurance for anyone age 65 and older, and for some people under 65 with certain disabilities or conditions. To contrast that, Medicaid is a joint federal and state program that provides health coverage for some people with limited income and resources. And we'll talk about Medicaid in a moment. Everyone is eligible for Medicare at age 65, if not before, due to the disabilities I mentioned earlier. This insurance is funded by the federal government and comes in four parts. Part A of Medicare provides for the payments for inpatient hospital coverage, so if you go in for surgery and that sort of thing. Part B provides for outpatient medical coverage, for doctor's appointments, therapy, clinics, and those sorts of services. Part C is an alternate way to receive your Medicare benefits, which is where Medicaid Advantage comes in. And then Part D covers the prescription medications. Some of the confusion for those over 65 or over is whether Medicare covers stays at nursing homes, assisted living facilities like ours, and other adult long-term care homes. The short answer is that Medicare does not cover these expenses. But there is an exception when a Medicare recipient stays for a short time in a rehabilitation center or a skilled nursing facility to receive services such as physical therapy after a hospital stay of several days. In those instances, Medicare will cover all costs charged by those kinds of facilities for up to 100 days. Now, switching gears, Medicaid. Medicaid is a joint federal and state funded program that provides health insurance for some people with limited income and resources. Unlike Medicare, only some seniors then are eligible for Medicaid. In essence, when a person is, let's say, poor or below the poverty line or has an income that's below poverty limits and limited resources, things like cash or marketable securities, real estate, and so forth, they might be eligible for Medicaid. This is the program we want to talk about more today, James, because it does cover some of the costs of living in assisted living facilities like ours.
Okay, yeah, no, that is really good. I think people will enjoy learning more about that. Now, how does someone who is retired, how are they going to determine if they're qualified for Medicaid?
Well, and this is where some of the complexity certainly starts. One resource I found that's available on the CanCare website, which CanCare is how Kansas manages its Medicaid program. It has a questionnaire on there that asks for the person's age, the number of people living in the home, their recent income figures, what they do own in assets, such as cash or autos or stocks and bonds and the like. That software will let the person know if they're likely to qualify. So that helps them determine, you know, am I close? Should I fill out an application or is it just not likely? You know, I think the more effective, but it does cost something, option is to consult with an attorney who specializes in elder law. Because in a short appointment with the attorney, it will allow the attorney to explain the complex rules and how one may qualify for Medicaid.
Okay, yeah, no, gotcha. So, while I know obviously we're not going to be asking you for legal advice here on the show, can you give us, you know, an example? What might a typical case look like for a person who is qualified for Medicaid?
Sure. Here's a basic example. For someone 65 or over, and let's assume they're unmarried, they're single, they're widowed, they're divorced, what have you, never married. We often see a case where the person's main source of retirement income is Social Security, and really the only things of value that they own might be their car and their home. So just as a real broad generalization, if the home and vehicle are sold or are in the process of being sold, the person may eventually qualify for Medicaid. First, you use the proceeds from selling those things to pay for your care. And then when you're under $2,000 of total assets, total things you own, like your checking account, the government will process that application and see if you qualify for Medicaid. Now, for married couples, when one or both need care, the calculations get more complex, because there are allowances for one of the spouses to continue to live in the family home, say if they don't need any care. They can keep an automobile to drive and some of their assets and the like. So this is where pre-planning with an attorney may help the couples. It's called legally divide your assets, meaning the property and money owned by a person needing care is then separated from the person not needing care. So that spouse is left with enough to live on, then the person needing care eventually, you hope, qualifies for Medicaid sooner. This is really where an elder care attorney is invaluable in planning ahead. Because, you know, James, the stats are that 70% of us are going to need some kind of care in our retirement years.
Hey, you know, that is a really good reminder. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Scott Schultz, owner and president of Morningstar Care Homes here on our Ask the Expert segment. And Scott, when a person is qualified for Medicaid, how does the program work that allows them to pay for assisted living services like yours?
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, the program is administered by the state, and both the federal government and the state of Kansas contribute funds to the Medicaid program called CanCare. For services provided to those who either live at home or in an assisted living facility, the retiree qualifies for what's called a waiver. It's really just a transfer, you might say, into the home and community-based services program known as HCBS. And This is Medicaid and HCBS is one of the Kansas government's largest expenditures, along with education, of course. So a lot is invested in this program. Once the person is qualified for HCBS by a case manager from the state of Kansas, the state then has hired three insurance companies known as managed care organizations to distribute the funding. Those companies are Sunflower Health Plan, United Healthcare, and Aetna. So the person who's qualified and has been assessed to be eligible to need the services then picks one of these three insurance companies to join. And after they become a member of one of those provider plans, then that plan sends out a case manager to determine the level of care the resident needs. And after the assisted living provider has delivered these services to the resident, a request for reimbursement is sent to the insurance company by companies like ours. So because of the complexity of all this process, not every company like ours participates in the program.
Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. And I know, you know, we hear those names thrown around, you know, United Healthcare, Aetna, all that sort of thing. And I know we see news coverage, too, that talks about some of these programs maybe not being adequately funded and that some facilities actually have to close their doors as a result. So does this actually happen in Kansas?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say it has, James. You know, most facilities that are accepting Medicaid or HCBS try to maintain a balance of residents who are paying for services themselves, privately, we say, and those residents who are on Medicaid or receive the HCBS waiver benefits. But no matter how you slice it, the margins are thin in this industry. And the tough times the industry went through, both during COVID and since then with the inflation that has taken place, I think Medicaid contributes to this, but all those factors together have caused many places to fail. The good news is, for the past 2 years, the Kansas legislature has increased its share of funding for Medicaid. They're in session now, of course, the legislature, and for the 2024-25 fiscal year budget, the House and Senate are debating, along with the governor's budget, what next year's increase will be.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to stay tuned and see kind of how all that works out. So, you know, with all this going on, you know, people might ask, you know, what motivates you to stay in this business and to accept those residents who rely on that HCBS program?
Well, I think if a person chooses to own an assisted living business, it's typically because they're really called to care for others. And if it's your calling, then that desire to see the elderly be well cared for is in your blood. That's kind of where it starts. Next, you know, it just doesn't seem right to have someone come into your facility and live with you for a few years and spend everything they have on your on their care, and then when they run out of funding, tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to move out. We call our places, our residents' forever home, because we do roll them onto the Medicaid HCBS plan when their funds are exhausted. So that's really the second reason, is we want to exist for everyone in the community. And the third thing I'll say is, despite some of the great economic development taking place in Southeast Kansas, there's a tremendous need for the HCBS program among our seniors in this part of the state. We don't just accept Medicaid residents then. We actually encourage them to move in, then help them get the benefits made available for their care by the federal and state government. So we're really trying to help people get the care they need by knowing what the resources available are. And it doesn't matter if the person's in our communities, we want them to get the assistance they need, whether they're financially wealthy or not.
Yeah, that is, and it's really cool that, you know, you're helping those people, you know, and helping them to get the care that they need, you know, because really at the end of the day, you know, it's all about those people and the residents, you know, those are our community members. And, you know, Scott, if Medicaid is only for those who have low income and very little in the way of assets, I guess my question is, how do others pay for the cost of assisted living or living in other adult care homes?
Sure. You know, it's much like planning your retirement if you didn't need any assistance with care. So you've maybe got savings accounts, investments, 401k plans and similar plans. You may have Social Security. Well, you will have Social Security now, and you may have railroad retirement plans, pension income, the military service during certain times of war, give benefits under the aid and attendance programs from the Veterans Administration. You may sell some real estate you own, maybe you have a rental house, that sort of thing. And there are long-term care insurance policies that contribute quite a bit to the cost of care. Then if those are exhausted when all the funds have been used to pay for their care, then that's when they can apply for Medicaid to cover the fees. So again, we just try to point families in the right direction to know how all this fits together.
Gotcha. And I mean, I know you guys are really a wealth of knowledge, and you know, to be honest, it can definitely be confusing for, you know, people who don't deal with it day in and day out. And the fact is, you know, this stuff will change over the years, you know, as whatever happens with the state legislature and that sort of thing. So, you know, if people do have questions, you know, about this, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, I mean, I know that you guys are a good resource, and if folks want to reach out to you and talk more about this, talk with you know, maybe Morningstar might be an option. What is the best way to do that?
You know, they're welcome to call into the homes in Yedeshe and Fredonia, or just dropping in to talk to Krista and Jackie. You don't need to call ahead for an appointment. They're a wealth of knowledge, and that's what I would suggest, James, is that they drop in and talk to the managers.
No, that is really good. I mean, and I know that it's always neat, I think, that you encourage, you know, people to stop by, you know, anytime and, you know, be able to see the facilities and just, you know, to see how great they are and everything. And I think that is just awesome. And then we do have an opportunity coming up where people, they don't even have to drive very far if they're in the Coffeyville area, for instance. I know that you're going to have some of your Morningstar employees coming up at the Interstate Farm and Home Show, which I can't even believe is coming up next Friday and Saturday.
Yes, it is. Jackie Hale and Krista Knickerbocker will be there on the campus of the community college, and they'll have information about our homes. So it's another great time to stop by and visit.
Yeah, that is going to be so cool, just to be able to meet you guys in person. I know plenty of the listeners have heard you on the radio, and just going to be able to you know, see what you guys offer there right at the Interstate Farm and Home Show. Again, that's going to be coming up here on Friday, March 22nd, 1 to 7, Saturday, March 23rd, 8:30 until 4. So that is really going to be a great time. And I know that you guys have a move-in special going on now through the end of the month, right, Scott?
We do. We're coming to the tail end of it by broadcasting through KGGF and others. You know, we've gotten the word out that when a person moves in by March 31st, they have 1 month absolutely free of our services. And so people have been taking advantage of the program, James, and we're experiencing fewer beds available. So we really are kind of coming down to the time that if you want to take advantage of that benefit, at least reserving a room by March 31st with a deposit is the way to go to minimize your costs this year in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to save money. I mean, it's just the cost of everything's going up. This is a really a good way to do that. You know, if you and your family are maybe getting into that that situation, you know, it's always, it can be a tough decision, but I know you guys really work hard to make that as easy and as pain-free as possible. And if people maybe want to check out the website, that sort of thing, where can they find you if they're looking online?
The website is MorningstarCareHomes.com. So we'd love to have them take a look and just see some of the resources there as well.
Excellent. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you coming on by here this morning. Again, really looking forward to the Farm and Home Show, and appreciate you sharing this information with us, and look forward to having another update from you guys here in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's a great Great time to be with you.
Awesome. Well, Scott, you have a great rest of your day and week, and look forward to chatting again here real soon.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much. That is Scott Schultz, owner and president of Morningstar Care Homes. We get to talk with the folks from Morningstar on the second and fourth Thursday of each month at this time. Coming up, we have Wyatt Starnes with Coffeyville's Reawakening. Be in studio here in moments on KGGF.